Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Big Cozy. I'm here with my homeboy, my brother from another mother, the other amigo to the stable of amigos that I have. This is episode 98. Shouts out to Spence. Shouts out to me. Holly Vice Podcast. What's up, listeners? And we're back in your mother FN life. And before I asked Spence how his day was doing and asked the listeners how you guys were doing, which I don't give a fuck to hear about, make sure y'all follow us. Make sure y'all follow us at the Holly Vice Podcast. Make sure you guys subscribe to our YouTube at the Holly Vice Podcast and the Twitter at Advice Holly. We are finally starting to post on the Twitter. I know we should have been doing it years ago. I know, shut up, but we're doing it now. So make sure you do that. And we're going to get a Cash App. So this way you guys can start doing it.
Get on your Cash App. Get on your Cash App. You know what I'm saying? If you are a fan of the Holly Vibes Podcast, get on your Cash App. That's what we need. We trying to build a podcast network for all, you know what I'm saying? I can give you the whole spiel like Umar, like my brother Umar will give you. But get on your Cash App. That's one thing I will say. Like my brother said, you know, follow all of those spaces. If you don't know the name, you probably know the face. If you don't know the face, you probably are familiar with the voice. It's none other than Spence, otherwise known as St. Kitch. As my brother would call me, St. Picasso, St. St. Pablo. St. Yes, Picasso, we in the building today. Unfortunately, we don't have Hill Jackson with us. He's out there conquering the world as always. You know how he is. He's trying to build the character of the villain. You know this. It's about to get hot. It's summertime. You know it's fun in the sun, and he's going to try to be the Ric Flair of this generation. So.
Yes. Yeah,
so
right. Shouts out to him, the king of cough syrup. Shouts out to him.
You said the king of what?
The king of cough syrup. Shouts out to him.
Whole lot of tussing, man. Whole lot of tussing. Yeah. Shout outs to him though. But nah, nonetheless though, like you were asking, I'm pretty good, man, for the most part. I mean, of course, we talked about some of the more recent things that have just happened.
Yeah.
Prior to the recording, but outside of that, for the most part, I'm doing pretty good, man. The weekend was great. Anybody listening to this more than likely knows this coming weekend is Memorial Day weekend. So of course, I'm sure just like anybody else, they'll be finding themselves getting into something. So I can't complain at all. How about yourself? How's everything been for you though?
Everything is good. Family is good. Can't complain. I'm right now on I guess summer vacation from college. Nice. Yeah, senior in college, so you know I'm almost done. Got a couple semesters left and I'll be done. And in the meantime, I'm working on trying to get some certs and stuff like that. Because listeners, I am financially stable, just to mildly put it. And this is not bragging. This is just me being honest and real. But me going to acclaim the certs will put me at a much better level, not only for me, but, you know, to continue to provide for my family and take care of the ones that, you know, I care for or whatever. So everything is going good. I can't complain, you know. It's the cozy lifestyle.
That's always beautiful to hear, man. It's always beautiful to always hear you always staying cozy, man. Especially with the certs. So, all right. So I'm guessing, is it safe to say once those certs come in, the bankroll is going to get even fatter, and you're probably going to come in here with the similar to Royce the 5'9" with the diamond studded do rag next time.
No, nah, man, I'm going to do like you. I'm going to pretend that I'm broke. I'm going to pretend that I'm broke. You know what I mean? Hey, you know what's crazy, though, about that? Before we get into the topics.
What's up?
All right. I've known you and Nigel for a very long time, right? For Facts. Probably over a decade at this point.
Facts.
Now, back then, you know, we were younger, dumber, so we cared about things that as adults, we don't really care about now. And remember back then, and you could attest to this, I used to be about the motherfucking designer shit.
the cost, that bullshit, right?
Nowadays, I'm kind of like, I don't want nobody to know what I'm driving. I don't want nobody to know where I live. I don't want nobody to know what the fuck I got. I don't, man. It's crazy how, like, as you're older, you enjoy privacy a lot more than when you were younger. It's crazy. Like, I have a nice vehicle. You know, I don't know if you see my vehicle last time you touched down, but I have a nice vehicle. I know people be looking and shit, but I'm like, I don't want you to know I'm driving that bitch. That's why I
turn it out and everything. It's like, yo, you don't even know who's in it, man.
If you notice, I don't post my crib. I don't post my car. I don't be flashing no racks. You know what I'm saying? Like,
nah, that's how you got to keep it, man.
I keep it so low key. I, you know, somebody is like, oh, he's born. Yes, I'm very born. Make sure you tune into the Highly Advised podcast.
You know who else said? Know who else said they were born?
Who?
Was Ace and paid in full, and then he pulled out a bankroll and was like, "Yeah, of course I'm born." Like, so I already listen, man. I already know what type of scheme you got going on. It's not even a scheme because it's all certified. Like,
I'm just saying, man. You've been to my home. I have a, you know, I'm blessed, and the state, whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, and you'll never see it on social media.
But that's how you got to keep it, man. There's certain things that you are not supposed, people should not post on social media. One being like the possessions they have, right?
Right.
Because I've heard of people like flashing that type of stuff. Like, oh, you see the money, you see the car. Let me just show you what the new crib look like, right? And next thing you know, they're like, hey, and people know where they live at. Hey, why did someone break into my place and steal everything? And it's like, well, you put everything on social media. So it's like, nah, you got to stay low, man. Privacy is like, I feel like once you realize like, yo, I have nothing, I'm doing good and I have nothing to prove to anybody.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, fam, what do I even need to drop anything for anything? It's like, yo, you pull, next thing you know, you just jump out one day. They'd be like, he always seemed like, He always seemed cheap or whatever, da da da. The next thing I was like, yo, you see the Aston Martin I saw in the parking lot? It's like, whose is that? You know who I'm talking about. Every Friday, we've been seeing this Aston Martin. We don't know whose it is. All we saw this the plate say Cozy.
I have a regular fucking license plate.
Too cozy.
I don't want you to identify what my vehicle is. No. My shit is regular. I know you heard that term, hide in plain sight.
Nah, that's how you do it though, man.
Yeah.
Listen, man, it's like sometimes you want to have the logo secret, for real, for real. Yeah. But nah, the two cozy plates, we know who it is anytime we see it. If you see an Aston Martin rolling around your neighborhood and the plates say Too Cozy, just know it's somebody that's part of the Highly Advised podcast. Big Cozy, Too Cozy.
It's not me. That means I have some type of clone out there.
Well, I'm sure of it. I'm hoping that your clone isn't Bishop Naruto.
Oof, it'll never be that. It'll never be that. Oh man, that's such a shame with him, man. I mean, to the listeners, for a little background on what we're referencing, there's a young rapper named Bishop Naru. I don't know how old the kid is, to be honest with you, but he's younger than us. He might be like a few age groups below us, but probably like, what you say, 5-6 years ago, he was catching a little bit of buzz online. Especially since, you know, MF Doom kind of did a project with him, making, you know, executive producer of a project, whatever. And he was catching a little buzz, and his music wasn't that bad, but did it pan out, apparently, because now he's pretending to shoot up heroin online to grab attention and views. And I think that's sad that you got to scoop to that level to get that attention for people to pay attention to you. I don't care if he's not really shooting it in his arms. I just think like that's just a whack thing to do to get to garner attention. There's other things you could do, but shooting up heroin, I don't know. To me, it's not cool. I hope everything's okay with the young brother for real. Hopefully he's not really going through anything serious. But if he's not going through anything serious and he just fell off and he's just looking for clout or whatever, I think that shit is corny. I hope he stops doing it. And hopefully he can focus on something more positive in his life.
Nah, I definitely agree with you, man. So apparently, I did look a little bit more into this while you were talking. Okay. And apparently this is, he has a project that comes out this Friday called Heroin Addiction. So I'm guessing that's, I'm assuming that's the main focus as to why he did this fake stunt, which I think is, didn't make sense. I understand for shock value, but to me, I think it's a poor choice of him trying to shoot up heroin as a promo run. There's so many, definitely when there's so many things in terms of that space that you can actually pull from real life people. If you're, if that's your gimmick for another album, and I probably listened to him once and never listened to him again, probably back then. So I'm not familiar with his music, but I'm trusting that if you said he was a good rapper at one point, he had a little buzz, I believe it. Like, but to me, I think this is just ridiculous, bro. Like at the end of the day, you're seeing people on Twitter, because that's how I got my attention.
Right.
Oh, it's bad that someone can fall off this bad. Someone's falling off this bad after being like co-signed by MF Doom.
Yeah.
And like, I think it was a couple other like people. There were a couple other people in the, from hip hop that also co-signed him. Like this, to me, I think this is like a really poor choice as to how to market an album, man. There's so many other ways you could have did this. Like,
yeah. And honestly, quite frankly, I know this is going to sound harsh, but I'm not going to check for the music just because I'm like,
no.
Hey, bro, like you didn't have to do that. What you're doing, you don't have to do. You obviously doing it for a ploy for people to tune in, but it's just so corny that it's just kind of like, it kind of turns you off to it. Just like, nah, you know what I mean? So I mean, like I said, I hope he goes to a more positive direction and avoid doing this stuff again. But this one, you know, it just turns me off.
No, trust me, I totally agree. Because I think when you try, it's, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with trying different tactics to market an album. But when you do something to this extent, it completely overshadows what you're trying, what the main focus, which is supposed to be an album. Personally, I feel like if you have to go this far to promote an album and you're really a dope rapper, to me, by assumption, without listening to it, I would assume like, yo, this, his music must not be that great. Right. Like initially you're just gonna think, for you to go to that extent initially, or just at this point in your career and you're still fairly young, it's social media, you can build, if you are willing to put the legwork in, you could probably build a fan base on top of what you already have. And there's infinite amount of like producers and engineers that you could work with, whatever. But yeah, just to go to that extent, I totally agree with you, man. Like it makes me not wanting to listen to the music. But more than likely what I'll probably listen to instead is Albert Einstein by Prodigy. Okay. Now that that's back on streaming platforms. I'm not sure if you heard, it had something to do with like his masters or his, was it his masters or?
So I don't know why it was now available, or his discography is now available on streaming platforms. I just saw a tweet on Twitter saying like, hey, if you didn't know, now you know all of Prodigy's music is available. So I rushed over to Apple Music and I was like, shit, all of it is here. And of course I started downloading the albums that I wanted to listen to from Prodigy. But that's how I found out. I didn't know the reasoning behind it. I was just excited that his music was back on, was available to listen to.
Yeah. I had seen something before. I'm not sure exactly what it was, but I did see something on social media as well, where it was like, oh, something, it had something to do with the rights or something like that as to why the music had been stripped. What I would have to say about this is great. This is a great thing. 'Cause as many of us know, Prodigy passed away like in 2017, 2018, somewhere around there. Depending on how the business is set up after they pass away, their music may no longer be heard from again.
It's true.
And like, in these situations, this is like something that you really have to applaud and be happy for and celebrate, because I'm sure there's plenty of fans of his that either they, more than likely, they kind of come, they probably come from an older era that have CDs and so on and so forth. But
right
now, everything being back on streaming platforms, I'm quite sure this puts a bigger ease for them. Hopefully we end up getting some additional music that's like maybe that had been sitting in the vault also.
Yeah, and according to Alchemist, there's another album on the way. And I think it's the album that they finished before the passing.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'm excited to hear the new album, and I'm just happy that the new, the projects that were released in the past are back on streaming platforms. Listeners, if you're not familiar with Prodigy, he's one half of Mobb Deep, the other half being Havoc. He works very close with the Alchemist during his rap career. I think he's a really good rapper. He hails from New York. Listeners, give him a chance if you're down to listen to some new music. Yeah. It's not, the music is not new, but I guess for you, if you're not familiar with Prodigy.
More often now, when we talk about rap music, we're primarily, I think all three of us on the show are all Griselda fans. And we all know like that whole Griselda wave and artists that are under that umbrella of that wave. A lot of that is due to producers like Alchemist as well. Yeah. So even if you're a fan of Alchemist or Griselda or anybody Alchemist has worked with in the recent years, but not familiar with his work with Prodigy or even Mobb Deep as a whole, because that's kind of where it hit, everything started with Alchemist. Definitely give it. I definitely second what you're saying. Just give that a listen. Definitely, man. But I'm not sure. Well, we've been talking about it already before about the whole Gunna and Thug RICO charge. Well, recently, earlier this week, Gunna and Thug were actually going up for bail, and Gunna's bail was denied, and as well as Young Thug, his bail was actually postponed. Where we are in terms of that RICO case. That's the current update right now, where Gunna's been denied bail, and I believe January 2023 is when his case should be starting, his trial start. So
all we could do really is just hope that the allegations made against Gunna, Thug, and other YSL members are not true, I guess. And if they are true, then they have to face what they're going against, because we just don't know what the fuck is going on, except they've been, now they're locked up awaiting court hearings, trials, et cetera, et cetera. And that's it. We are hoping for the best, but we just don't know what the fuck is going on. That's it. So,
yeah. And that part I do agree with, where, as fans, we just don't know what's happening. Hopefully the truth comes out when this is all said and done, and hopefully it works out for them in the best light. I do know one thing that was interesting to me was with Gunna. I think he practically gave up everything. I think he was willing to give up like four of his homes, his parents' house. He told them, you can tap my phone line. You can monitor who comes into my home. I'll stay on house arrest. I'll only go to the studio. And they still denied him. So clearly there's more to come from this case. I'll put it that way. But outside of that, did you get a chance to listen to Boldy James' new album, Killing Nothing?
So no, man, I'm going to be honest. I know it's shocking, and because, you know, I like to listen to Griselda music when they drop. But once I seen it, it was like the Real Bad Man. I thought of the Real Bad Boldy project, and I wasn't a big fan of the Real Bad Boldy project. So as I have Killing Nothing in my rotation, I heard a couple songs. I heard the one with Crime Apple. I heard the song with Rome Street to Stoke out on there. And those are songs that I'm like, okay, cool. I'll check the rest of the project, or if he's deeming it an album out. But I'm going to listen to it. I'm going to definitely get to it. It just wasn't the first thing I listened to over the past weekend.
Oh, really? I'm not mad at that though. I I did have a chance to listen to the album, so like I didn't even pay attention to the real Batman part until like after you mentioned that, like, because I don't remember what was on that project, so I probably wasn't the biggest fan of it. But this project, I would say, is like, it's definitely worth checking out, man. Like, if you get a chance, definitely check this album out. To me, I think it, I don't want to give anything away, but like, it's, to me, I think, to me, for the most part, I like the album from the beginning to the end. Especially where you have artists like Stove God Cooks, Rome Streets, who to me personally, I think are like some of the new faves out of the Griselda camp. So, I was pretty excited to see this actually drop. I'm not sure if I told you, but over the weekend, I actually went to go see the Griselda show.
I was going to say, I saw your Instagram stories of you being at the show.
Yeah, man. It was super dope. I was hoping that Boldy James would be able to make it, but unfortunately, I think he was actually in Detroit, or he was doing a whole different series and show right now. But we haven't seen something like this in a while, because like that show, in terms of just Griselda as a whole and the branches from that tree, it's crazy. Like, literally, it's the Griselda show first, which was West Side and all of his artists at this point. Imani Caesar, Stove God Cooks, and
Rome Streets,
who performed like his first. Apparently, I guess Rome Streets just got signed to them.
Yeah. He's the newest signee. Well, yeah. The latest signee, I guess.
Yeah, so like he performed one of his songs from there. But then after that set, then of course, because all these artists work together, Benny comes out, performs a couple songs with him. Then his set comes in for the BSF set. And then we get into the Conway set, which was an interesting set. You could just tell Conway had a lot. Conway deals with a lot.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, he even said, like, he doesn't even like performing X, Y, and Z. You can tell that he's trying to figure out where he's trying to, like, where he's trying to go, or what's his next move, or at least it seems that way. So,
yeah,
I'm hoping, similar to, like, the first album Kanye put out for Donda, I'm hoping that on Donda 2, which is rumored to be coming out sometime soon, mm-hmm. that Conway, or at least the Griselda camp, someone from Griselda is on that album again, because that's looking to be pretty good. I'm not sure if you heard, but like for Donda 2, apparently this week, which would be tomorrow the 27th, apparently Kanye and XXXTentacion, they're putting out a song together called True Love, which is going to be a joint single on Donda 2, as well as this posthumous apparently there's supposed to be a release for XXX as well that week. So I'm not sure if you had a chance to hear about that or not.
No, I didn't. I honestly, when it comes to like Kanye stuff, the only thing I see about him is either shit with Kim Kardashian, shit with this girl he's currently dating, and shit with fashion show shit. Like that's it. When it comes to Donda 2, I haven't really seen a whole lot about it. So now that you've brought it up, you're breaking news to me, I'm going to try to find it and check it out. Now, did the song release or is it just announced?
The song is announced. Okay. Apparently it was announced on XXX's Instagram page. Mm. So pretty much in a quick synopsis, I guess they put out a post for an album that he has coming out, True Love or something like that. And the first single is going to be the song True Love with Kanye. But in that caption, it said, this will also be a single that will be on Donda 2. So that kind of made way. And then I think Kanye tweeted something about him doing a song with XXX or whatever. So, yeah, this is something that's going to be real. And it does come out on Friday, which is the 27th, which would be tomorrow for the listeners. So, yeah, I think after it comes out, we'll be able to talk a little bit more about it, though.
I think this is going to be a crazy year for rap music again.
Definitely.
We already have strong projects or albums, whatever, with Kendrick, of course, Kendrick knocking out the park. And then Can't forget about your Benny, your Conway's, Pusha T's. I know some people like the Vince Staples album. I know some people like Denzel Curry's album, you know. A lot of people like Future's album, you know, believe it or not.
Facts.
So there's been a lot of dope music. There's a little something for everything, for everybody this year, as far as fans of rap music. I don't know if you listened to the Action Bronson album, but that came out too. And I know a lot of people, they like what they heard. I'm just going to say that to be gonna say. Yeah, I'm just going to say, just to say that, because I know not everybody's going to like that album, but the people who do like it, they really like it. I'm excited. Donda 2, apparently Drake might be working on something. Migos, you know, and I'm not saying that Migos on a level of Drake and Kendrick and et cetera, but still, they're still a big name. Lil Baby announced that he's coming out with a new album.
He did?
Well, it's speculative because he put a date, a July date in there. So it's speculation that's a new album. So I don't really know if it's actually a single or album, but that's the online speculation. It looks like 2022, man, it might be a smash hit.
Yeah, from that lineup, just from what you said, I don't think we've gotten like a lineup like that since what, maybe 2016, 2017, 2015, somewhere around there.
Last year was a good year for music too, man.
No, yeah, that's true.
Last year was good music for rap music. And I can't forget West Side Gun with
Michelle Records.
Michelle Records, yeah. So he's not retired. Surprise, surprise.
Listen, man. We all know the gimmick, yo. He's gonna retire after Michelle Records, and then
You think so?
He's gonna announce he retired. Yo, I'm retiring. This is the last album I'm gonna give y'all, and then after that, he's gonna probably put out another 5 albums like he did. Yo, what was Sheen gonna do? I think he had put out 2 projects already that year. Goes on that the interview with B-Dot and is like, oh yeah, you know, after I'm good, you know, I don't have to rap no more. After this, I'm putting out 1 more album and then I'm done. Puts out like 4 or 5 albums that following year, then puts out more projects. So he's announced that he's going to retire, and I think he's put out maybe 5 or 6 projects. He's not going it. Now he's not going anywhere.
Now, not to like stay on West Side too long, because we got other things to speak on. But what if when he's saying I'm retiring, meaning he's retiring like an album title, like he's retiring the Hitler Wears Hermes series, he's retiring the Fly God is the Awesome God, or shit, like, and I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just saying, what if it's that, but he's just saying, I'm retiring because it catches more buzz.
Well, he needs to be a little bit more transparent about that, man. I'll put it like this. As West Side Gun put it when he was, I think, performing Michael Irving or Jose Canseco, he was like, this shit is beautiful. Stop the music. He literally stopped the music and was like, this shit's beautiful. Let me start all over again. And then stopped himself again and said, this fucking music that I make is beautiful. Like, I can't see him retiring. And if he does, I think for fans, he should just be a little bit more clear if that's what he means by like, yo, I'm retiring this series, or because I'm sure he's someone that thinks like years in advance at this point. So he's probably thinking like, yo, I'm putting out this style of music and then I'm going to go into another style. So he even had What's Up Pootie out there too.
Yeah, damn, that's crazy. He had his daughter. Yeah. But he said that the Imani Caesar and Rome Streets, those projects are done.
Yeah, listen, man. I can't wait. I can't wait for that. I think I seen Imani Caesar on, I think she went on, I didn't watch the freestyle, but I think she went on I-95.
Really?
The I-95 to do a freestyle. So, like, and she's special.
Yo, I think she's a good female rapper. She's not on hot girl shit. and this is not to knock the hot girl ladies, but the hot girl ladies, they're not good rappers, you know. They're not good rappers. They put out songs that are entertaining, and that's okay, because not everything needs to be, doesn't mean you need to be a good rapper to put out entertaining music. She can actually rap. She can actually make good songs to rap. Now, you may hear her music in the club, you may not, but if you're pitting her against other female rappers, depending, you know, obviously I'm not saying put her against Nicki Minaj or Rhapsody. You know, I'm not saying that. Yeah. But if you put her against, I think she's a better rapper than a lot of these hot girl rappers out. But since she's under Griselda, which is like an underground group, she's not going to get the mainstream appeal of some of these OnlyFans female rappers.
Being such a special artist in comparison to her peers, she can rap. And right. I think, like you said, like, though she's special, if not more special than other artists that are more than her other peers, I think she doesn't stand on that. Oh, I'm special, so you guys should listen to me. It's like she stands on the forefront of like, yo, I am a rapper. And I think that's the thing that it's unfortunate. It could be a thing that pushes her forward, but holds her back to some extent. Like I've sent her music to a couple chicks I know. And yeah. Some girls are like, oh, I don't like it because she raps too slow. And it's because they're used to listening to like the hot girls.
Yeah, the hot girl shit. And listeners, when we say hot girl, we're not directly to targeting Megan Thee Stallion. We're just talking about, you know, females that rap about certain content, and they might not really be that good at rapping, but since they're kind of like the flavor of the year, so it's not directed to Megan Thee Stallion. Actually, I think Megan Thee Stallion is actually a good rapper. Now, if you like her music or not, that's up to you to decide. Who cares? But I don't think Megan Thee Stallion is a bad rapper, though. So I'm not talking about Megan.
Oh, no. I figure that. I mean, and probably the listeners, I'm probably good that you did say that, because the listeners probably wouldn't have, maybe would have not connected the dots on that one. It's like that. The hot girl summer, to me, is like hot girl summer music. Like,
right, yeah.
It's, if you put hot girl summer as a playlist, it's probably those artists that go into that playlist, probably not all of them, but probably like maybe 75% of those artists are the artists you're referring to some extent.
And this is not to degrade those women. Cause, I mean, I'm not degrading
them.
I
know what you mean.
They're selling a product. You know what I mean?
Yeah, listen, man, and that's why, like we said, like there's different strokes for different folks, man.
Right,
like,
exactly. And this is not to knock them, or I didn't say the music was trash or whatever. It's just that Monty Caesar is just a better female rapper than those type of women rappers. That's it.
But yeah, so outside of like just like with music and everything, I haven't been keeping up with it as much. But I know you're more of like into the playoffs. Where are we right? How are things looking right now in terms of the playoffs?
Okay, listener. So at the time of this recording, because the playoffs, every night there's a game. We're currently in the Western Conference Finals, which is Golden State versus the Mavericks, and the Eastern Conference Finals, which is the Boston Celtics versus the Miami Heat. As we stand right now at the time of this recording, Golden State is up 3-0. Tonight they're playing, so they could have already swept by the time the episode comes out. The Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat are tied 2-2. But once again, when this episode comes out, there will be new updates, of course. Just real quick on the NBA playoffs, because, you know, obviously every night is a game. My prediction is the Warriors and the Boston Celtics are going to meet in the NBA Finals. That's it. Once it officially happens, then I guess me, you, Nigel, if he's returned from his conquest, then can have a deeper prediction.
I'll say this much, as far as like from what I've heard so far, I probably have the same prediction, where from what I'm hearing, it does sound like it's going to be Golden State, which I'm not mad at. I'm guessing they must be shutting Luka down. I haven't had a chance to watch the games, but I'm assuming they're shutting Luka down because apparently he was a menace in the last series. Yeah. So from what I'm seeing right now, I got Golden State and I do have the Celtics. I have heard that the Celtics have been looking pretty good. So this should I'll be, and one thing I could say is, no matter if it's before episode 100, during episode 100, or somehow lingers into episode 101, I'll be watching it. I will say. That I definitely will say.
Yeah, man. Finals, man. Which team is the best in the NBA?
Yeah, that's how it always works, man. It always ends up being a question of who's the best.
Right.
Like, and we even see that even is seen in like in MMA for instance, right? So like, yeah. Like someone like, for instance, like with Charles Oliveira, we've seen how he's been like on a rampage to some extent, on a war path. He's pretty much destroyed and he's pretty much folded up anybody and submitted them who you put in front of him lately. And
yeah,
to the point where now there's a comparison of like, oh, could he possibly have a better title run than Khabib? And apparently Khabib had a couple of things to say about this on an interview from ESPN. You get a chance to check it out?
So I didn't watch the interview in its entirety, but I saw clips here and there from people like posting it, and I saw excerpts. And believe it or not, man, I read more stuff than watch these days when it comes to like sports news.
Makes sense.
And honestly, I would still rank Khabib as the best lightweight of all time in MMA. Just only because of that undefeated record kind of holds up still. Don't get me wrong, Charles Oliveira, he's a killer. Well, he's definitely the best lightweight in the world today, and he's definitely top five pound for pound today. And yes, technically speaking, he's not the champion because of the whole weight scale issue and all that. But let's be real, when he's walking into his next fight, people are going to respect him as if he's the champion. People will start to treat it like, oh, it's another title defense versus just a title fight. So right now I'm just still siding with Khabib. And mind you, listeners and fans of MMA, if you are, I am not a Khabib fan. I'm not. But I'll always give credit where credit is due. And right now Khabib is, if we're talking about goats of lightweight, Khabib is still the goat of lightweight. Now, if Oliveira finishes Islam Makhachev, and let's say he finishes like Beneil Dariush or whatever like that, then I think the argument is going to start to shift, because it's like, well, now he has more title wins than Khabib, and he has more finishes against he already has more finishes of elite competition over Khabib. But if he just does more, it just helps his argument further. So I think that right now Khabib is still number one, but Oliveira is making a strong case. He just, maybe he's 2-3 fights away to take that spot from Khabib, man. Because I get the undefeated record thing, and that's what's keeping him right now. But being undefeated versus somebody's strength of schedule, I'm always going to choose the strength of schedule, because you could fight 20 cans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 20 bums to stat pad a record.
Yeah, and that, listen, man, and that's completely true. Like, you can fight, you can literally, like, it's all, like you said, it's all about the strength of schedule, personally to me as well. Like, you can fight, you can be 40-0 and the last 39 fights you had were against can crushers, or guys that were, it was clear as day that you clearly should have been in, they shouldn't have been in the ring with you. They weren't your level of competition. So right. Like, and you can have like a couple good wins. Like, I do agree with you right now. I think Khabib is still at the number one spot. I do believe Charles Oliveira just needs a couple more wins. And I'm not sure if it was the same interview, because I did watch the interview this week. I think it was the ESPN interview, because there was a couple different interviews with Khabib. But yeah, even in that sense, though, I think even he said it right now, for him, Charles Oliveira would need to fight at least Dariush as well as Islam, for him to even be in the conversation. I'm not mad at him having one or two more fights to solidify that. I think to some extent, some of the reasonings for Khabib saying why he's the better fighter, I'm not mad at, but at the same time, it's all about the strength and schedule, like you said. Because in the interview that I watched, some of his statements were, he's been hit in the face. Nobody's ever hit me in the face. He missed weight, which we all know Khabib had a horrible experience with making his weight at one point in time in his career. Granted, things change after being a champion, but some of his reasonings I didn't feel were adequate, just because it's like, you may have never lost a fight, but who's the better fighter? That's like looking at the conversation will always be Muhammad Ali now outside of Tyson, it would be Muhammad Ali and Floyd. Some people will say Floyd, some people are going to say Tyson. Some people will say Floyd because he's undefeated. Others will say, well, Tyson, he lost, but he lost to other Hall of Famers as well.
You mean Ali?
Yeah, Ali.
Yeah. I mean, you may disagree with me, but bro, and I know a lot of people might when they hear this, I'm siding with TBE. I'm siding with Floyd on that one. I'm sorry. I know people are going to be like, what? What the fuck? Da, da, da. Don't get me wrong. RP to Muhammad Ali, you know, greatest heavyweight of all time. But if you're talking about TBE, I'm siding with Money Mayweather, man. And that, of course, that could be a conversation for another episode, another time. But I just thought I needed to throw that in there, bro.
You know, I'll put it like this. I'm not sure where I sit on it. I'll be honest with you. Because I feel like before I can make that judgment call, I really would have to sit down and watch like the majority of their fights. Just because I know, because that's a dicey one. I'm not mad at it. I'll put it like this. I'm not mad at you saying Floyd, because though people can say what they want about Floyd, oh, he ran or whatever the case may be, majority of the fights he had, Floyd also was dropping dudes. Floyd fought all the competition he had to fight. Some people said, oh, he prolonged his fight with Manny Pacquiao. He was still younger than Manny Pacquiao, and Manny Pacquiao still went on to be a champion still for several years at that. So it's there's a couple.
I hate the Canelo argument too, man. I hate that he didn't fight Canelo in his prime. All right, I hear that. I'm like, Canelo, he's in his prime now. Is Floyd supposed to fight him now?
Like, exactly. To me personally, I don't even think Canelo is even, people should even use the comparison to Canelo, because Canelo doesn't even have a prime until he fights Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
There's literally a visible difference in his fighting style after he fought Floyd Mayweather. Even realized, like, yo, Floyd is someone, he can stand in front of you and not get hit.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
like, don't get me wrong, a lot of legends, Muhammad Ali is a huge legend in the sport, if not the greatest of all time. Like, without question, right? But there's a lot to say for a man that cannot get hit at the highest level of the sport.
That's what I'm saying, man. I understand people are like, he's an asshole, all he cares about money. Oh man, damn all that. When we talk about in the ring, yo, the game of boxing is to hit and not get hit. And he was the master of that.
Facts, bro. Listen, we never saw anything like that. Did you watch any of the highlights from his latest exhibition?
Yeah, man, it was like a glorified sparring contest. The guy obviously had no business being in the ring with him. And you know what? I started to change my tune on these exhibition fights. At first, I was part of the mob. Oh, you know, circus, keeping away. But honestly, let's be real. Due to like the politics and all that shit that fucks up the matchmaking, this is what's kind of keeping people interested in boxing. Now, I get it. Floyd, he fought his old sparring partner that he used to make him mop the floors in the gym. But at the same time, I look at it as kind of like people paid attention to it. People tuned into it. I think that with these exhibition fights, though, you just got to make it more intriguing. Don't have Floyd versus the old sparring partner. Have Floyd versus somebody else that people are going to be intrigued to tune into. If you're going to treat these as big events, because let's be real, these are, they're borderline celebrity boxing.
Absolutely.
So you got to have a Floyd just needs a good dance partner. When Logan Paul does it again, he needs a good dance partner. That's all is just needed. Just two good people that can help sell the event, and people are going to tune in to watch it.
At that point, that's all you really need. Like, if you have a good dance partner, without question, it sells itself. That's just after Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier fought for the first time.
Right.
Right. I'll never forget saying, like, yo, they're going to fight again.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, too.
It's like, yo, they have to fight again. Oh, why? Because it's just a beautiful story. You have a beautiful dance partner at that point. Like, it's like, hey, there's enough drama. There's enough headline there where we can sell the fight. We know once we put the fight on, people are going to be entertained by it. Like, and to me, I think that's going to be the real issue. To be honest with you, in terms of a celebrity fight, you know what would be a beautiful rematch that I would love to watch? And you'll have something to say about this. Would be Floyd fighting Oscar De La Hoya. He would mop Floyd with Oscar.
Yeah, Floyd would whip Oscar, but Floyd and Oscar in the exhibition fight, that would get people to watch.
It would
get people to watch. I'm not saying it's going to break the pay-per-view record, because it won't, but people will tune in, because if they could make it an exhibition, meaning like, hey, no harm, no foul, people will be inclined to watch to see Oscar get fucked up. People would be inclined for that. Then people would be happy to see that. They'd be like, tonight I'm a Floyd fan, because I know Floyd doesn't have a lot of fans.
Nah, that's a fact, man.
So I think if they could do the it can't be a professional bout, because it means nothing. So it needs to be exhibition. Build the undercard up. I don't know. Do your random MMA versus boxer guy on the undercard. People will tune in. I just think that, you know, as long as people realize exhibition boxing bouts do not matter. It's only the sole purpose of it is just for fun. It's not there. It's not Errol Spence versus Terrence Crawford. It's not that. If you could remove that, then you will enjoy them a lot more.
Nah, definitely, man. And honestly, that's all it really is. It's like, it's nothing more than entertainment. Like, if you watch the exhibition fight with Floyd that he just had over the weekend, right? He's literally, like, it's nothing but entertainment. He's literally taking the card from the ring girl, and he's becoming the ring guy, walking around with the card, talking to his opponent, going to his opponent's corner, talking to him, fighting his opponent, pretty much the gym dude. And saying, like, yo, I think the announcers were like, yeah, you could tell something about Floyd. It's like he plays mental warfare. He just plays around with you. And then he looks at them and says, I do. And then tags them. It's like you said, it's entertainment. When you look at it from an entertainment standpoint, it's an amazing thing. But if the moment you look at it like, oh, this is a real fight. Granted, I do believe if him and Oscar De La Hoya were to do an exhibition match, I feel like Oscar would take the fight more serious than Floyd, definitely with some of his words. Some of the choice of words he has for Canelo in the media. So,
I don't think Oscar is a big Canelo guy neither, because they have their falling out too.
Yeah, that's, man.
That's why Canelo's with Eddie Hearn now, because
I'm not sure, and I don't know if you saw, but like Eddie Hearn. I believe from what I read in an article, because Canelo, he lost recently. And after that loss to Bivol, now he's actually going to fight Triple G for a third time in a trilogy this September. I believe Eddie Hearn's probably is just like, hey, we can't afford you to lose another fight. So let's take That's this all. Triple G. Yeah, let's just take this Triple G fight, man.
Yeah, and I don't want to like deep dive into this whole fucking shit, because this whole shit is irritating, because like it's, you hit the nail on the head. It's obviously to get a win for Canelo. It's obviously a big payday for Canelo, because you know a lot of people are going to tune in to the Triple G trilogy fight. Canelo more than likely is going to beat Triple G, and don't be surprised if he knocks out Triple G. Triple G is 40 years old. The fact that he's still going at the level that he's going right now, it should be applauded. But now, like, he's fighting a guy who's in his prime. He knows what it takes to beat him. Like, it's just, in my opinion, is selling wolf tickets. Because after Canelo beats Triple G, he's not going to fight David Benavidez or Charlo brother or Andre. He's not. He's going to end up going back to politic his way to fight Bivo again. And I don't care to see the Triple G fight. I just don't. And kudos to anybody that wants to see it. But it's a fight that, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't. No, because you're talking about Triple G, who's old. He's going to be retiring. He'll retire soon. I'm not saying he's retiring now, but you know how much he's not going to be fighting in his late 40s. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, he's only person that we've seen like that really that was successful is Bernard Hopkins, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Like
he started off late. He started off boxing late. Like Triple G has been his career for a long time. Like now if this trilogy fight were to happen a few years ago,
right,
then it's a different story. But like, even we've seen in like Triple G's last fight, which I believe he won that fight. But
he fought. I'm not familiar with the Japanese boxer he fought. The Japanese boxer was a champion, you know, one of the many championships boxing has. And Triple G did beat the guy. He did stop him. And that's what set up this fight with Canelo. Well, it helped set up the fight with Canelo. But it wasn't like Triple G of old where he was like a bruiser, you know. Hey, Triple G was able to win. He got a stoppage, which is good. But hey, we see the signs of him declining.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's the main thing that people notice in that fight, where it's like he's not losing. It's not the fact that he still won the fight. It's the fact that you can tell, hey, he's not who he once was a few years ago. And that's the biggest thing. Now, granted, apparently, because this was like an article that I read on Yahoo Sports where Canelo had said, of course, oh, we already had this on contract, so we're just choosing to honor the contract, which I'm with you, it doesn't make sense, because just after he lost, you were like, oh, I want to activate an immediate rematch.
Right.
So it's like it's nothing more than like the politics of it. Now, granted, this will be for like the unified belt that he has, I think, at middleweight.
Yeah, super middleweight, 168.
Yeah, so like this should be from that stance, at least we know we'll know something's on the line. But at the same time, I would be surprised to see Triple G winning this fight in September, to be honest with you. Like Canelo now has a battery in his back of, hey, I'm just coming off a loss. This is probably going to be the hardest he's trained in a while, because he's coming off a loss. This is the first loss he's had since Floyd Mayweather. So, I don't know. I think it should be an entertaining fight, but like, I'm with you though. This fight is nothing more than just, oh, you know, we need to cushion him with a win, because two losses looks bad on his record at this point. I get it, but at the same time, it's like, at what cost is this really worth it? Like, it's not like it's not like Canelo's taken years off and he lost a fight for the championship and now he wants to get a warm-up fight. It's like, yo, you're an active fighter, been fighting every year, multiple times a year. So it's, I don't know, it's, I think we'll see more from that. Outside of that bout, though, I know this weekend, actually, we finally get this Gervonta Davis and Rolando Romero fight.
Yeah, the fight was supposed to happen before. It got canceled. listeners, and foremost the reason why I got canceled. For the boxing fan listeners. And now that the fight is happening again, by the time this episode comes out, listeners, you'll be, I think, a couple days before the fight actually happens. Honestly, this is the last fight on Tank's contract with Floyd. Tank is going to come and knock this dude out. And now you gotta respect Raleigh, or Ronaldo, however you would like to say his name. You gotta respect him because he's selling the fight. He's making people care, and he's actually made people know who he is.
Yeah.
Now he's gonna get KO'd, but he did a good job and let you know people. He brought himself out. So, like, after this fight, I'm pretty sure people will tune in to listen to him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not listen to watch a fight.
No, I definitely agree on that one. I think at this point, the fight, people will probably check into him. Now, I think that also depends on the fashion in which granted, we've done this before, and we've definitely had a moment where we said, oh, this person, we literally wiped the floor clean with how bad someone was going to lose, and they ended up winning the fight. So I don't want to jinx Gervonta Davis on that one, but
right.
It depends on the fashion in which he loses. If it's a typical Gervonta Davis, hits him with that nice uppercut, knocks him out flat in the first round, I'm not surprised like anybody else. If he ends up looking good in the first couple of rounds, I think he definitely will tagline himself with a following, because he's definitely working overtime to sell this fight, which I can appreciate. I think Devin Haney's going to
Australia to fight George Kambosos for all the belts at lightweight.
Yeah, and I believe Gervonta Davis has said that he wants him next if he ends up uniting the unifying the belt.
The only way he's going to get that fight if he signs with Top Rank at ESPN, because
that's horrible. That's so horrible. Why?
The reason why I say that is because I don't know if you've been following that Devin Haney situation or not, but after George Kambosos beat Teofimo Lopez for the belt, Devin Haney, well, first it was supposed to be George Kambosos versus Lomachenko. The war Ukraine happened. Lomachenko, who's a Ukrainian boxer, he decided to fight for his country, which is okay. You could respect that. Nothing wrong with that. So Devin Haney was next in line. Well, Devin Haney, he was under Eddie Hearn. They were trying to get a deal done, but George Kambosos' team didn't like the terms. So the only way Devin Haney was going to get that fight to get for all the belts, he had to sign with Top Rank, submit to all George Kambosos' demands, and George Kambosos gets an immediate rematch if he loses.
What?
Yep.
That's horrible.
Yep. So the only way Tank is going to get a shot at those belts if he signs the Top Rank, because if not, he's going to end up waiting for X amount of time for the fights to happen.
See, and if that's the case, for him to, I'll put it like this: if he's leaving Floyd Mayweather, the last thing he needs to do is join Top Rank.
I think he should go to Eddie Hearn and fight on DAZN.
Yeah, I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad at him fighting on DAZN, because love him or hate him, Eddie Hearn is definitely going to try to get. He's definitely looking for the biggest payday.
Right. Yeah.
And if anybody can get that conversation going in terms of like with Bob, like Eddie Hearn's probably the one to help make that happen. But if he has to join Top Rank for that, that's just a monopoly, man. There's a lot to be said. There's a lot to be said if that ends up being the hand that's forced for him to do this, that's just horrible. That's horrible, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see, though. We'll see how it goes. And I think Tank is going to beat Raleigh under 8 rounds.
Yeah, I got it. I got it going in the six, probably in, by the sixth round knockout. Yeah, I don't really see it going any other way. In other boxing news, it's unfortunate to hear something like this. A boxer by the name of Musa Yamik, listeners correct me if I'm mispronouncing his name, but unfortunately, he undefeated fighter, 8-0. He actually died in the ring going into the third round against his opponent. I'm not sure if you had a chance to watch the last moments before he had collapsed or not, but yeah, this is kind of sad. Just want to send my condolences to his family. Did you have a chance to see any of it?
No, man, but once like the news came out, it's just kind of like, you know, obviously that's very tragic, that's very unfortunate, and definitely condolences to his loved ones, his family, friends, and supporters, because that's, you know, you're doing something that you love, you're doing something for your livelihood, and the next thing you die doing it, and that's very tragic and sad. And hopefully, hopefully his family, obviously after their grieving period is over, because of course they're going to spend some time grieving, and understandably so. But hopefully they could do a celebration of his life, because if he was an undefeated boxing champion, that should be something to celebrate. You know, he, at least it's as sad as it is, at least he passed away doing something that he loved doing.
Yeah, and that was probably the biggest thing I took away from it is like, because so many people don't get a chance to do what they enjoy and life, period, let alone die doing it. Or, like, that's the last thing that they ended up doing. Hopefully, I second what you said, though. Hopefully, his family is able to find some way of doing a celebration of life, because from what I read, he went pro in 2017. Okay. And so he went pro in 2017, 8-0 as a fighter. Apparently, he's fought in other countries, clearly he did well because he became champion, never took a loss. So hoping that his family is okay. Hopefully, I'm hoping that his family is able to get through this. And as well as, I forget the name of his opponent, but hopefully his opponent is also okay. Because only reason I say this is because from what I read, and this is just a short clip of what I read, apparently this happened like in the third round of the fight. And from what they're saying is that apparently Musa Yamik, who ended up passing away, allegedly they're saying that in the second round he took a really bad blow. He took a really bad hit in the second round, which maybe could be the cause for the heart attack that he ended up having. I'll put it like this. I did see the clip and it did seem it was unfortunate for all parties involved. I just send my prayers out, because I can't even imagine you going to do your work, right? Your profession, and it's a competition, and you're going against somebody else, and they end up dying, right? Now, granted, we've heard certain boxers say they would want that they would want to do that, to inflict that on somebody, which I think is stupid. But I can only imagine you're going to compete against somebody, and in the midst of the competition, they pass away. Like, I'm sure that has some effect on his opponent as well. So, because this was like in the third round of the fight, it just looked like he stopped, like he was about to come out for the third round, and then he just kind of grabbed his chest, kind of like looked like he was trying to catch for air, and then he kind of started to collapse. But send my condolences out to his family and everything, and so on and so forth, and all the people, all the parties involved overall.
Yeah, man, that's sad.
Yeah, and then I hate going from one sad topic to the next, but unfortunately, this is still very fresh, listeners.
Yeah.
There was a shooting at an elementary school in Texas, where currently, as of right now, they've labeled it as 14 children and one adult has died so far. Hopefully that number doesn't increase between now and the next time you hear us. But unfortunately, I don't really know how to even speak on this, to be honest with you. It's just a tragic incident that happened at an elementary school. Apparently, it was the shooter was an 18-year-old who I think was a high school graduate of somewhere in a near area. He was pronounced dead. So as of right now, that's just where we are with that. But only thing I can say is I really do send my condolences to the families, the friends, everybody that's just all parties involved, because this is just, it's just sad. It's just something, it makes you so hard for words. I'll put it that way. It's just a sad ordeal.
Yeah, it's, I mean, first and foremost, what's most important, definitely rest in peace to all the children that lost their lives and had their lives cut short due to some motherfucker that took it upon himself to come to shoot up an elementary school. And that's so unfortunate that 14 children had to lose their lives by somebody that they didn't know existed. They didn't even, you know, who could have ever conceived this was going to happen, you know? And let's not forget about the teacher that lost their life too, you know, definitely rest in peace to that teacher as well, because, you know, they're not there for a paycheck. They're there because obviously they want to teach. They want to teach young children and help the next generation move forward and move on. And that's a nightmare to the parents involved. It's so tragic. It's just very, I think it's terrible. It's very sad. There's nothing that me and you can do, Spence, any all these other online politicians that could do to fix the situation that happened today and bring those children back. They're dead and gone. And you have to really feel for the parents, because, you know, we don't know, of course, but, you know, they could have been at work, just working, normal day. All right, I got to pick my kid up. And next you know, they get the phone call. Sorry, Mr., Mrs., whatever. But, you know, unfortunately, your child was involved in the shooting, which is obviously a panic. Yeah. Or B, sorry to inform you, your child lost your life today due to a shooting, which is, once again, like a nightmare. So, of course, listeners, it's all over news. You're not going to get any political statements from the Highly Advised Podcast. You can suck the skin off of you know what. No, for real. Because there's already people arguing about left versus right. Who gives a flying fuck? Yeah. The most important thing is 14 children plus one adult lost their life.
And it's actually, I just checked my phone while you were talking. A new report came in like 5 minutes ago. It's 19 now.
See? Even more sad and sickening.
Yeah, 19 children, one adult.
That's fucking terrible, man. That's
that makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, man, it's heartbreaking. And I understand people are like, well, thoughts and prayers are not going to fix this. And they're right. Thoughts and prayers are not going to fix this. And the only thing we could do as people who are not involved in making the actions to prevent something like this from further happening or whatever, all I can say is just like, damn, you know, it sucks. It sucks that these children had to lose their lives, the teacher included too, because we can't forget them. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. It's like anarchy, man. It's like fucking, that shit is crazy. God forbid, knock on wood, whatever you pray to, if you don't believe in religion, gods, whatever. But look at, if you went into work or you just got in your car, whatever, and next, you know, that's the day where you're not doing anything. You just happen to be an innocent bystander. And then shit just starts to go down. A shooting happens. That's fucking wild. That is crazy. And it's even more crazy that it happened to children.
Exactly. And that's... That is what my bad. I probably cut you off. My bad.
No, it's all good, bro. It's just very, the fact that it happened to children is rare. It's the craziest fucking part. It's the saddest thing in the world. And honestly, when I seen that it was children getting killed, I was just like, damn, bro, that's wow.
Yeah.
That one hits, because it's like you're talking about very defenseless kids. Yeah. They might not even be aware of shootings because they're kids, you know?
Exactly.
And imagine if it was like kindergartners, first graders. You know what I mean? Like, that shit is sad, man.
Bro, it is. They said the school is like from second grade to fourth grade. So, like, we talked about this before we even got on here. Like, the whole thing is sad because it's, as a human, right? Just as a human, it's not a political thing. As a human, like, you should never want to take another person's life, right? And if you feel as though you have there's an issue with another individual, you don't have to use a weapon, right? You can just have that conversation, or you stay out their way, or vice versa, or whatever. But to go into a place where it's kids, like I'm old enough to remember when I was in second or third grade or elementary school. Like, I can't, like, at that time, the last thing you're thinking about is something horrific like that. Like, this is, when someone does something like this, I don't think they realize the impact that something like this has, man. Like, these are kids. This is the future. It's like the future. This is someone that is brand new to the world. They don't even know what the world, they don't understand what the world has to offer them. They're just kids, as innocent as can be. And someone chooses in their mind at that moment, whatever they have going on internally, or whatever they think their cause is so righteous for, that they find this to be the means to whatever they are whatever their ends are. And to me, this is just, it's just sickening. It's sickening. Like, something like this, one, I do hope, like, because we've seen this before, unfortunately, when this has happened in history before, where people make up all of these conspiracy theories and all of that stuff. At this moment in time, I need people not to do that. Like, right now, this is a moment in time where the only thing that should be matter to anybody is being a consoling person to someone, because it doesn't matter who you are. This could have been anybody. Could have been anyone. There's adults and children involved in this. This could have been anybody that could have been going to school to go work at a school, or you're picking your kid up, or you're dropping something off, or you may have just started working there, or whatever the case may be. It could have been anybody. And it's unfortunate, like, something like this happens where you just see someone do something so sick. And then on top of it, like, you have other people that are victims to this, that survive this, that you don't even know the trauma that they have to sit with.
Especially the children, man. Exactly. An adult, I'm not saying adults can't be traumatized, because obviously it happens every day. But those children, that's a life changer for them.
This whole situation is just so sick, man. This is so sick. Like, only thing I can say outside of, like, what we've already said is, like, I really just got to send my condolences and prayers to all the families, all parties involved, because, like, this is a lot.
Wow, man. I'm just stunned. There's a loss of words, man. RP to all those children, and an RP to that teacher. And the only thing you can do is just have concerns for the parents and the kids, the community, whole community, man.
You need to be able to console someone at this point. This isn't a point right now. Is not the moment of pointing fingers or saying this should be done or that should be done. Like, I think that's something that will be addressed, right? On a different note, before we get out of here, I did want to, there was something that came up during the week that I did want to bring up, because I know you were in your glory, so I figure I'll let you give you a chance to speak on it. You were right about your predictions for the Kendrick Lamar album.
Oh, man. So,
because you jumped for joy, you definitely jumped for joy.
No, I mean, I
you were in the group. Though I know you were jumping when you were texting.
No. I'm gonna be humble about it, man, because it's like I texted you guys on the day the album dropped. I said, "Hey, yo, this album is really good. I enjoy it. It might be album of the year." Now, to me, right now, my number one project of the year is still Tana Talk 4, but it's debating between Tana Talk and Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. There's no bad song on either album. I enjoy both albums. I have nothing negative, nothing bad to say about Ken. No, I don't. I like Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. So I listened to the album 3 times when the weekend came. Then I waited about 4 or 5 days, listened to the album again just to make sure it wasn't like recency bias.
Right.
I was like, I like this shit. I thoroughly enjoy it. Nothing bad to ever say about it. I'm not going to go all super duper deep like some people are. Oh, he's in a therapist chair. Okay, whatever, bro. But as far as the album sales go, what I want to say about that is this. I was trying to tell you guys this ever since the podcast first started, right? Yeah, you can't be gone for 5 years and be quiet, put out barely nothing, and then come back and sell 500, 600, 700, 800. You can't do it. It's not possible. And this is not a knock on the, what was it, 295 was the final number? That is fantastic. That is grand. I think he had the biggest first week of the year so far. That is amazing that he did that. But the fact that his fans, especially the super diehard, they thought, I've seen a tweet that he was going to do a million in the first week. I was just like, these people are doing so, and that's why I'm happy Kendrick told people, I am not your savior. I cannot please everybody. Stop, please. Because that was ridiculous, bro. The highest I went was 450, because I'm like, okay, the hype was there, the anticipation was there. But obviously we got it on record. I said 200,000 in the 200,000 range back then. I bumped it up to the 300,000 range
a few weeks.
Yeah, so like my original number and the new number, whatever, was good. It was just, and I always said it, it's fantastic. No, for real, it's fantastic, bro. This album more than likely will go platinum. Before the year's done, the album's going platinum. Motherfucker is easily a top three today. You could argue that he's one, you could argue he's two. If you say he's three, okay, but he's top three. Yeah, exactly, to each his own. Exactly, but he's top three, bro. I'm sorry, but I knew he wasn't gonna pull that big fucking number in the first week. I just knew it. I was just like, there's no way you could take a 5-year hiatus, barely put nothing out, and then all of a sudden you're gonna go crazy with the numbers. That's unheard of, bro. That's unheard of. I'm just saying, if he did that, the motherfucker is the GOAT. When it comes to album sales,
yeah.
If you think he's the GOAT musically or artist wise, it's subjective. I'm not gonna be mad at your take for it, but as far as album sales, I was like, if he pulled that off, he's officially the GOAT. But hey, man, shouts out to Kendrick Lamar, man. That album was fantastic. Mr. Morale, the Big Steppers, it was a great album.
Nah, it definitely was. I'll give you that. I was wrong on it. I was predicting 700. Only thing I will say, and I still don't think it would have helped him get to my projections. It might have gotten him, if anything, it probably could have got him to 400,000 at max, was that all apparently this time, this album sale, it was completely streaming. There were no places where you could buy the album a physical copy, which which granted, it differs from the album sales of the last album, just because the last album was 50% physical sales, 50% streaming. That's 5 years ago. Streaming is totally different now. So even if anything, I would have allowed it for like maybe 20% of his sales being physical copies, but they weren't out. But still, when it got into the 700 number, I was thinking, but he did good. You were right. I gotta give you that one, man.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I
wasn't gonna let the episode go by without bringing it up. I was like, yo,
didn't bring it up though.
I know it was bubbling inside you though. I know it wasn't,
man, because I enjoyed this album. I enjoyed this album. I think this album is really good. I don't think this album is bad. I liked yours and Nigel's takes on the album. I think the album is good. If people think it's a perfect 10 out of 10, I'm not mad at you, bro, because the album was good.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Nah, that's a fact, though. It was an amazing album, but it kind of rings true to what you said. You take such a big hiatus, it's going to be a little bit, it's going to be harder. You take a big hiatus, you don't do a promo run for the album. Like, I thought the promo run he did do would have worked, but it didn't. So, shout outs to Kendrick, though, nonetheless. Also, the day this drops, I did see this on Instagram just before we get out of here. One of his former label mates, Isaiah Rashad, he's supposed to be doing a interview with Joe Budden that should be coming out today, which would be the day this comes out. That'll be coming out today, where he'll be talking about that whole sex tape thing or whatever. So that should be interesting as well for people in the music space. But yeah, man, all I can say is Big Cozy was too right on this one. That's all I can say.
Look, man, once again, shouts out to you, Spence. Shouts out to Nigel, wherever he's at in his current conquest. But Miss Him Around, the Big Steppers, to me, it exceeded my expectations, because you remember that first, and I don't want to keep going back to it. I know we got to get the fuck out of here, but remember that text message I sent you? Oh, it's a Pimp a Butterfly too. .. When I listened to this album, I was like, wow, this album is I enjoy this album. I enjoy it. Yeah.
Nah, it's, trust me, man. I'm definitely with you. Honestly, I think we'll probably have to come back and discuss this album in a couple months, because it's definitely an album where it's like it's a lot of digesting. So yeah, it's a great album. Before we head out of here, anything else you want to say to the listeners before we jet?
Yep, for all you scumbags and no good pot belly heathens, make sure you follow us at the Holly Vice Podcast on Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to us at the Holly Vice Podcast on YouTube. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Advise Holly. Please engage with us. Slide into our DMs. Hit comment, like, subscribe, all that other shit. If you hit us up, we definitely show love back and hit you guys back. Thank you to all the listeners that stuck with us from episode 1 till episode now, which is 98, and then we'll stick with us to episode 100. So shouts out to you guys. Thank you guys, because you know we're glad that you like our content, and hopefully as we get to further future episodes and stuff, we gain more listeners and more people will like our content. We're just doing this because we have a passion for it. We fuck with it. We love with it. And guess what, listeners? You're witnessing history. This is the first time where me and Spence are doing an episode without Nigel.
Oh,
so
shit.
This is history. And if you listen to this, you better listen to this motherfucking episode. And if you listen to this episode, you know, now your ears is blessed. Now you're part of a new conscious. You're one with the universe, as the African god Spence would say himself.
Yeah, you're one with take your shoes off, let yourself be grounded, be one with the earth, you know what I'm saying? Herbs and trees, buzz the bees, you know what I mean? All things flapping together, all under green skies and beautiful weather. I ain't got much more to say other than this. You've been highly advised. make sure you tune in. Like my brother said, tune in to all the outlets that we have. Shout outs to Relaxin' Jackson, otherwise known as Hill Jackson. We'll see him soon. Episode 100 is coming very soon. This was episode 98. And with that being said, you've been advised. Shasha.
Boom.